Leading off with the big story of the day, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and Tina.
I'd say due to the studying and the work in this offseason, I've been able to be a lot more confident out there. You know, we're making changes here and there. There's just a lot that went into this whole offseason that I think after the first couple weeks, we're going to start seeing grow and grow and grow and grow, and including my confidence. My confidence is high right now. But, you know, that's just been from practice and everything, and I'm just excited where this is going. I see a lot of things that we're building on, so to say, where we get to focus on some minor details now instead of maybe last year focusing on some bigger picture things. I think that'll help us be 10 times better in the long run.
And that's your guy today, Drew Lock. Tyler, I thought we just hated Drew Lock. I thought we were.
It's the Drew Lock party today, baby. He's back. He's back. I love it. Man, good day for Drew Lock, huh?
I thought so. But I got to admit, I was on the bike today. Warm day, but good day to be out there. And
no,
so,
miserable. I started to get on the bike today, and I was like, not doing
that
it.
Right?
No, sir.
You turn around?
I did, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I got about a half mile out there, and I was like, nope, not today, not
no
doing
kidding.
It. Nope.
What time of day was that?
Probably 11:30, something like that.
Too fun. Well, I was already out there at practice at that point. It was a little bit cooler, I guess. Well, once you're out, you're out. You're kind of you're out
I
for
mean,
the
there's
day.
An excessive heat warning today for the first time in state history.
Is that right, man? What's
yes,
the, what's
it felt like it was 125 degrees on that pavement.
See, Steve Jobs tells me what the temperature is today. Oh, wow. Okay. It's 100.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yes. Excessive heat warning.
100. It's 100.
That means don't bike today. That means you're not smart to be on the bike today. That's what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I got that out there and it was fine.
Well, good for you. Yeah.
You know, no big deal. It was, I didn't know it was 100 degrees right now. Wow. That's nuts. And it's supposed to be 100 at 4, 100 at 5, 97 at 6. And 91 when we wrap things up. Oh, that'll be manageable. Oh, maybe I don't blame you for turning around. You felt it like this is ridiculous.
Yes. Yes. I knew. This was not for me. Not today. No, sir.
And then
I could always bike another day.
Wow,
I could burn a few calories another day. Today, not burning them.
Yeah, it really is just today and then Wednesday and Thursday. And then it's, you know, summer, you know, upper 80s. Even I see 79 is high for Monday. So this is just it. We just have this 3-day kind of crazy stretch. The exact 3 days the Broncos are at minicamp.
Yeah, yeah, good. They need it. They're toughen them up a little bit. This little cupcake OTA session that they've been going through, they need a little toughness in their life.
You know who's a hard ass then?
Huh.
Our boy Vic Fangio wearing that sweatshirt.
Good for him.
Sweatshirt, no matter what.
Right.
Sweatshirt and shorts.
Yeah, we got to be consistent. That's the thing, for
sure.
Yeah,
man. If it's 100 degrees like today or 5 degrees. Sweatshirt and shorts.
Mm-hmm.
We got it.
Good for him.
Gray sweatshirt too.
How wet and dark did it look?
He looked cool, man. It looked all right from our vantage point up on the perch there, where we're allowed to watch and in limited capacity. And you know what I was trying to say is that's my point of view. Drew Lock had a killer day. You got to tell me because I haven't been bumping around to all sorts of different other people. What are the other reviews then of the day?
Well, I was listening to Stoke and Zach when you called in, and I heard your just absolute raving report, and it was great. It kind of got me fired up, quite frankly, because as I've said many times, I am pulling for Drew Lock to win this starting job. The team is in a better spot for the future with Drew Lock due to the upside that is there. I also predicted I think Teddy Bridgewater is going to win it. So when I hear that Drew Lock goes out there and has a better day, that gets me a little bit excited because I think to myself, okay, well, I hope that my prediction is wrong. I really do. So I called around a little bit because I'm not gonna lie, when I heard your report, it was like, goodness, this guy apparently tossed about 45 touchdowns, no interceptions, no incompletions. I mean, you're ranting and raving. I did check around and I got kind of similar responses. They weren't on cloud nine like you were about the day, but here's what I was told, and you can kind of back it up with what you saw or not.
Sure.
I was told slow start. Actually, a little bit of a rough start to begin the day.
Yes.
Maybe 3-6, 3-7 to get rolling. Then things started to pick up, got down there, in particular towards the end of practice in the red zone, and that's where he really started to shine. But overall, he looked like he was just more comfortable in a real game-like environment rather than just simulating OTAs, 7-on-7s, all the stuff that had been going on previously.
That sounds relatively fair. It was interesting. Yeah, he did, I think, what would lead people to believe it was a slow start. And by the way, I kind of knew, I had a feeling that there would be some contrary sort of reports on things. It is why today specifically, and I haven't done this for the other days, but I did do it today. I wrote down every single play. I basically... Let's say my chart.
I mean, you wrote it down in like the Da Vinci Code that I couldn't quite figure out what the heck it all meant. You're using all these numbers and digits, and Lord knows what the heck it all meant.
Oh, that's great, Richie. You printed it up.
Yeah, but he printed it out in like English. So like he broke down your Da Vinci Code into English. Like, good job on cracking the code.
That's good, yeah, man. Congrats. Good job, Richie.
Yeah.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah. All right. So you can see why people are saying it was a slow start. Yeah, I don't know what we're supposed to say. There was some hesitation in the beginning. And then, Richie, my man, Richie, he has given us some, like, specific details on stuff. Like, I was just writing numbers down, but he's translating, like, the numbers are to players and who they were. Lock throws to wide receiver Seth Williams. Yeah, I don't know. Because you do have a sheet. I got it right here.
2021 sixth-round pick, by the way,
but
in case
you
were curious.
I appreciate it. But, you know... A lot of guys that you know, too, are wearing different numbers this year. So you do have to, like, oh, my God, who caught that? You know, those sort of moments. So Seth Williams, I wouldn't have known Seth Williams from Devontae Williams or any Williams. But he is, what number is he? Seth Williams. Oh, man, I don't even have his number. Oh, wait. Oh, my gosh. How many? We have.
Yeah, who cares?
19.
Yeah, I don't care what his number is. I'm going to be honest.
19.
Yeah, but Seth Williams, sixth rounder.
Anyways,
out of Auburn.
So he was, you know, he was 2-for-2 and made one bad play there in the beginning. And then he hesitated again the next time he went in 7-on-7s. So if you want to say, oh, he got off to a rough start or a slow start, that's exactly why people would say it. But if you just keep going deeper, you'll see when he picked it up, he really picked it up. And he was making tight passes and accurate passes and not hesitating. And super effective on, like, boot rolls, for example, and play action. Super effective on those. And it was like, whoa, one after another, till where at the end of the practice, we're in the red zone, he was tearing up the defense. And in that same situation, Teddy Bridgewater was struggling. You know, there were a lot of excuses why the Panthers weren't finishing in the red zone, right, last year? What did we hear that about Teddy Bridgewater? We never practiced this.
Right.
We never did that. Well, they were practicing today. And then Teddy Bridgewater did not look good in those situations, and Drew Locke did.
Hey, man, it was a day that is worth reporting on. But like I said earlier, when we had the reports that Teddy Bridgewater was playing better, and I said, well, slow down. Like, we're talking about a practice at a time here, and we got a marathon to run before we're truly going to be able to evaluate these guys. Here's the deal. This is great. This is fantastic. Drew Locke needed a day like this in front of the media. He might have had days like this previously when the media was not out there, but all we've got is the days where media's been there. This is the first day that we've gotten the report that Drew Locke won the day, and I do think that despite the disparity in the reports and Zach Bye's wedge-driving abilities, well done, man. I mean, he has you on as a guest. I mean, you just get on cloud nine about Drew and then immediately follows it up with, well... You know, I gotta just I want to be clear here, guys, that I did get another text from somebody that was out there, didn't exactly feel the same way as D-Mac.
Awesome.
Yeah, D-Mac, believe D-Mac if you want to, but not the report that
I
got.
I did not hear that audio. Well, what do we have? Oh, I only have the every single play from practice, so I don't know, did Zach's other guy, who's his little
other
sister,
guy was James Palmer, found out afterwards.
James Palmer was standing right next to me.
That's kind of like you and, didn't this happen last week also?
Mm, I was on
you and Merlat. You and Merlat were standing there side by side, and you had like totally conflicting reports.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons where I was listening.
I need some consistency here, man.
Every single play. Every single play. So if you want consistency, you can look at every single play that happened in 7-on-7 and team drill, 11-on-11, or you can just take James Palmer's word for it.
Boom.
So you can...
You're wrong, listen, James Palmer. I've got a report in front of me.
Well, you can look at it and you can tell me. You can just read it. Forget about, you know, I'm not making things up.
These Did you write a TPS report, James? Did you?
Right.
I haven't seen your TPS report. I got D-Max.
Because this is the type of crap that happens when people are out there. And, of course, there's always the people who are like, oh, it's just practice. First of all, James Palmer is a really good reporter. So I'm not sure what James Palmer texted Zach by. You know, did Zach actually...
Zach put it on air. So, he told us all exactly what he texted. It wasn't like he totally disagreed with you. I guess he was a little bit slower. He didn't think it was as exciting as you thought. He thought that it was actually a little bit of a rough start and that he picked it up towards the end.
But that is true. Okay. So we are saying the same things. Because what I'm just doing is I'm putting more emphasis on the things that happen later in practice and not as much in the beginning. But it's not that I'm forgetting about what happened earlier. Here, you see it. Wrote it down. You can see where James Palmer came up with that. But what does James want to talk about when they were in red zone and three or four passes went for touchdowns that were in tight windows that Drew Locke was throwing? And
Cecil Lammy agreed with Palmer, too? But what's going on here?
We can look at every single play.
I want you to be right, all right? I'm going to choose to believe my partner because I'm in the foxhole.
Well, I'm so glad now, if Cecil has a different viewpoint of it and James Palmer does, I'm so glad that I wrote it down.
Because if you write it down, then that means it's real.
Well, right? When I write it down, it's what happened.
I love it.
I love it. Holy God, hold on. Do you think I can make all of this up?
No, but
There's no way, right?
No, but I do think that different people can see different things.
Well, all right,
I think that your report is accurate in your point of view, for sure.
But this isn't like some sort of subjective sort of things. Teddy throws short to Tim Patrick. There's no other way to interpret that. That's it. That's exactly what happened.
Well, was it the right read? Was there anybody else open? Did he go through his progression? Was it on time?
He checks
down. A whole lot more than just saying where the ball went.
He checks down so much, dude.
Drew!
Teddy.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Drew.
Drew was taking some chances today. Drew was got some sizzle on that arm. Drew, when Drew's playing well, man, it's a little bit contagious. It's exciting. Like, there is an energy with Drew Locke, but there's also a negative energy, too, when he's playing poorly. That same energy can suck you in the different direction.
So
Teddy's just like even line, not too high, not too low. It's consistently boring.
I'll say this based off all the reports. If I just take an aggregation here and I add it all up. Well, everybody's pretty much in agreement that this is the best day that the media has seen that Drew Locke has had. I think that also everybody would be in agreement that if you had to give a check mark next to somebody's name as who won or lost the day, you would give the check mark to Drew Locke for today.
Sure.
So, more or less, I think everybody got to the same conclusion in a different manner. And here's where Drew Locke's challenge now begins. This is not surprising that Drew Locke looks more exciting. Like when Teddy Bridgewater won the day previously or the days that we've previously been there for, well, he more or less won it by default simply by not doing anything wrong. Teddy Bridgewater would get the win because Drew Locke threw a couple interceptions. Teddy Bridgewater, I know that he had the one nice deep bomb, Jerry Jeudy, that you were there for it. But for the most part, we haven't got any real like exciting reports about Teddy Bridgewater. Whereas with Drew Locke, the day that he wins it, not a surprise that it is exciting. Okay, that's who these guys are. Drew Locke is the ceiling guy, the high ceiling guy. He's the exciting guy. Teddy Bridgewater is the consistency guy. So for Drew Locke, if he's going to win the starting job, well, a day like this, actually as exciting as it is, this will not win him the starting job. What will win Drew Locke the starting job is stringing together three or four straight practices without mistakes, and where he's got a day or two like this mixed into it. So he doesn't have to be consistently that much more exciting. He needs to find a consistent level of play that the coaches could look at him and say, okay, this is who Drew's going to be every single day. And now he's running out of opportunities here during the offseason. He's only got, two more practices here. But when you get to training camp, when you start tallying up all the days, Drew Lock isn't going to win by having the high moments. He will win by having consistency mixed in with a high moment or two.
Okay. What kind of quarterback? Hey, Hot Take Tuesday, right? You, text line 303-713-1043. What kind of quarterback do you want? What do you want, folks? It's these two type of dudes. It's Teddy, two gloves in 100-degree heat, consistent but pretty boring, trying to not take too many chances, which, you know, he'll play it safe. He'll throw it over your head in the end zone rather than throw an interception. Or do you want the dude when he's playing? He could make mistakes, but when he is on, it could be really special.
Well, who am I as a coach? Where am I in my career?
You tell me,
what
man.
What kind of pressure am I under?
Right.
You know, because if I'm a first-year coach, it feels like I've got 3 or 4 years to kind of develop somebody and ride the wave, go with the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows. Okay, well, I probably want the exciting guy. I probably want the high-ceiling guy. But if I feel like I got to win right now in order to save my own job, well, then I know who the default's going to be, and it's going to go towards the more consistent player. I don't know why people got to take shots like you at you like this on the text line, though. I just don't know why.
What are the shots?
This is just, it's mean. What's going on, Tyler, is that D-Mac isn't tall enough to see what is going on out there. And he's probably writing things down and also researching mung bean recipes while everybody else is watching practice.
I'm very boring with the mung beans. I just use one product, although there is a frozen form and a liquid form, but that's it. Mm. So I haven't really dug all that deeply into the mung beans. And let me tell you, person who thinks I'm too short, I sat down the vast majority of the practice because the Broncos media provided chairs.
Nice.
And so I just took a seat, sidled up to the little wall there, was able to actually kick back to actually watch the practice.
So you were like same level as everybody. It was actually like equal playing field.
Well, we were up on a 40-foot incline hill. So I was, you know, yeah, even level with everybody. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm
telling
you. Set
up a little higher on the hill than everybody else, no?
Hey, I was sitting down in a chair. I was kicking back like it was the 4th of July. They were on the near field, which was awesome because they're right in front of you. And when they did red zone, because I was down kind of at the 30-yard line, they came down my side, not the other side. Today was mwah, beautiful. And I stood right next to James Palmer, and Zach just gave me James Palmer's tweet or a text that he sent to Zach, and I want to read it on the air, but I'm trying to get some confirmation from Zach if he's cool for me to
I know what you can and cannot read because I've already had this conversation with Zach. There's one part that you cannot read, but maybe you ought to save it.
Well,
why
don't you read it then? If you know it, if you got it, and you know what the difference is.
Well, then give me your phone. I don't have it. But
all right, here. Hold on. Come on, man.
Zach, you can get mad at me.
All right. Well, that's the text, James.
All right, here's the text from James Palmer to Zach By. My full observation, Drew was tight early, too slow in his progressions, and not very loose and held the ball.
True, noted that.
He threw into the help. You just can't do that. Teddy took what the defense gave him. Okay, this all sounds very consistent to who you guys are.
Lots of checkdowns.
Okay.
Yep.
A few of the checkdowns were quick reads because the zone had a miscommunication that caused an easy throw to exploit the defense. Any comment on that? No.
Mm.
Okay.
No, that's what was happening, yeah.
Okay. Drew did get better as the day went on. His red zone was his best period.
Right, where he dominated Teddy Bridgewater's performance.
Maybe Drew had a better day, but I'd call it closer to a push.
Well, okay.
So, look, I hope that you're right, but that's a pretty conflicting report with you, quite frankly, of if it's close to a push, that's very conflicting. But I don't really care who's right, who's wrong. Your eyes told you what your eyes told you. So let's go with it. Let's talk about it because that's your opinion. And I am curious, based off what your eyes, what it mean? I mean, if Drew Lock played as well as you say, what does it mean?
I question whether or not there would be days during these type of practices, Tyler, that would separate quarterbacks, these guys, one from another. And I suspected, and we talked about it, maybe not. Maybe there wouldn't be days that would happen because it is kind of so close and it doesn't really feel like there's anything all that special one way or the other. Today wasn't that day. And hey, man, no offense to James Palmer because I love James and he is a good dude. And we literally were standing 5 feet away from each, maybe 6 feet, right? We're still nice about that. And he hadn't been out at those other OTAs. So he hadn't, I think this was the I believe this is the first time that he's been out there. Usually he's in, like, hiding in Tom Brady's, you know, backyard.
Right.
But he was out there today. It was great to see him.
He probably folds it for him.
So if he thought today was a push, well, that's pretty good then. Even that's pretty good because Teddy Bridgewater was having so many better days than Drew Lock up until today. So if you really came away from thinking this was a push, the vast majority of people that have watched practice have said Teddy Bridgewater was better in practice day after day.
Well, unfortunately, a push is definitely not going to be good enough because based off the reports that we've gotten previously, Teddy has won every day that the media has been out there.
I was surprised.
Unless today was like a clear-cut Drew Lock day, well, a push is definitely not going to be enough for Drew.
Hey, man, if you just follow Twitter, and I'll just say it, I guess you'll just have to take my word for it, but I did do like a couple of little video reports, and I said, it happened. I'm surprised. This was unexpected. Did not think this was about to happen or going to happen. So why, I'm not trying to overblow something or make something up that didn't happen. I'm just telling you what happened.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. I mean, forget it. Who cares about the rest of people's opinion? Seriously, it's your opinion at this point. Based off of what you saw, what does that mean in relation to everything else that you have seen previously? Because, yeah, we can get on a roller coaster here, and we could ride the waves of the moment, which is always a dangerous game to play. You never want to ride the waves. You want to get the full big picture. So I'm curious, would you put this into, I guess, accumulate it with all the other practices? Well, where are we at and what does it mean, this one really good day?
That's a really good question because I wasn't even expecting this day. The coach has got something pretty deep to think about. It was going right down the Teddy Bridgewater path, Tyler. Easy peasy. It was just like a no-brainer. It was like everything was against Drew until today. So I don't know. I don't know that he gave them something to talk about. Good for Drew Lock. He rallied today. He made things interesting. And by the way, not only that, but there were other moments. There was. I sensed a better sense of leadership moments. There was personal coaching moments. I saw what he was working with Noah Fant after practice. That I hadn't seen out of Drew Lock before, that I had actually seen kind of quickly out of Teddy Bridgewater. I'm telling you, there are things happening with Drew Lock where he's obviously maturing, understanding things better, reacting better, and just athletically, he's just a better athlete than Teddy Bridgewater, period. You can't even debate about that, right?
No, I mean, all those things are true. We've said that for a very long time. That's why we've always said he's got the higher ceiling. Here's the problem. D-Mac, let's assume for 1 second, and this is, we definitely do not know this. We've not been at every practice, but let's assume for 1 second that the majority of practices have been like the practices that we have seen, meaning Teddy Bridgewater has indeed won the majority of the practices, which would also mean that this practice today is actually a little bit of an anomaly. It's an outlier for Drew Lock. Okay. Well, as good as today might have been for Drew Lock, can I just tell you something from a coach's perspective? It's actually not really that good of a sign for if you're a coach looking at a player that all of a sudden just peaks like that.
Mm-hmm.
It actually frustrates you because you're like, yeah, like I'm glad that you did that. Good for you. Why the heck do you have so many mistakes in the other days?
I get it.
Because if you could do this, we wouldn't have ever gone out and gotten Teddy Bridgewater.
Right.
We wouldn't have to have a 50-50 coin flip situation.
Correct.
So surprisingly enough, even as a player, when you've got a good day like this,
mm-hmm.
It actually can frustrate a coach where they're actually, I'm not going to say mad at you, but they're just a little bit annoyed and irritated. And they're saying, well, I just don't know if I could believe that. I don't know if I could believe that this is who you are based off of what you've done previously.
Well, let's spend some time breaking it down. And we'll hear from Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock throughout the course of the afternoon. And Cecil Lammy will join us. I'm glad in a half hour and can tell us, you know, from his perspective, what was going on. By the way, what'd you say? Record heat day today? Record heat day? Cecil. Johnny Cash, all in black.
Oh,
record heat day.
Nice. Good for him.
Black jeans, black shirt, sunglasses.
Hides the sweat. It's good choice, actually.
Cease was rocking it today. Water cooler. Aaron Rodgers slinging more mud. Who doesn't love that? That's next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
Hey, it's time for a complicated fella update. Who doesn't like to hear about that little complicated fella, right, Mark Murphy?
Year, often talked about Aaron that he's a and it wasn't just Aaron, a lot of different players, he would say, he's a complicated fella. So I'll just say that.
He's a complicated fella, that Aaron Rodgers, Tyler.
You, Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly. So Rodgers is on this promo tour because he's playing with, well, Brady's playing with Mickelson, so it's DeChambeau with Rodgers, right?
Right. Correct.
And so they're doing some promotion. Here we go. Let's hear Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you can say all you want, but Aaron and I are grinders and competitors, and you know, just like y'all are, our golf games are a little bit better. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
I do think you do have a partner that would probably have liked to go for it a little more often than he has in the past. So, Bryce, I'm glad you're encouraging him.
All right, interpret that shot right there. What does Brady know behind the scenes that makes that funny?
I mean, not a secret here. Aaron Rodgers didn't get to go for it in the playoffs. His coach kicked the field goal when the game's on the line, tried to go win a playoff game. So there's the behind the scenes. Aaron is mad at Matt LaFleur. Shocker.
Okay. All right.
To kind of go for it when it's on the line. So rather than, you know, just knock into the fairway or something like that and try to play for the next shot.
Yeah, I'll never push anyone to do anything. So he can choose whatever he wants to do.
I usually don't get the option in my...
That's what I mean.
Right there. I don't usually get the option.
My coach is usually too dumb to allow me, the league MVP, to try to go win the game.
It's not people. It's that type of thing. He's just sick of it. He wants to just be able to go and do what he wants to do when he wants to do it.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers is so done with the Green Bay Packers.
So done.
It's not even funny. There's no way that they reconcile. Absolutely no chance.
This is great for Broncos fans.
I do anything, so he can choose whatever he wants to do.
I usually don't get the option in my.
That's what I mean. You'll finally have the option, Aaron. So.
I know the pain. That's Brady ripping on Belichick. These guys aren't ripping on each other. They're ripping
taking
on their
shots
coaches.
Former coaches.
Wow.
Because Aaron Rodgers, that will not be his coach ever again. Oh, yeah. Definitely taking shots. Good news, man. I love it. Every time I hear Aaron Rodgers get up there, just take some little subtle shot at the Packers, it just reminds me, okay, don't give up hope. Yeah, it might take a while. Yeah, this thing might go into the future, but all this hope and optimism that we're trying to drum up right now based off of the first good practice that we've seen from Drew Lock, you think we're gonna be faking that or having any disparity in the reports if Aaron Rodgers was our dude?
No way, man. Are you kidding? Can you imagine? All right, one more from Rodgers. Hey, how about that though? That's Rodgers and Brady both taking shots at their former teams or former coaches. I feel the pain. I don't have any choice. I mean, it's a little bit, you know, tiny violin and woe is me. But you want to talk about things that matter to guys after a while. It's they're not having to take crap from guys. Here's more from Rodgers.
You know, I think that's what this offseason's been about. It's been about really enjoying my time and spending it where I want to spend it and not feeling like I have to go anywhere, not having any responsibilities, but still being an NFL player at the same time. It's been great.
Does bear mentioning as
we... Wait a second.
Still want to be an NFL player, though, so that's good.
Wait a second. Let's break that down a little bit. What he's enjoying is not being responsible for anything.
Right. I get to go to Hawaii. I get to hang out with rich, famous people. I get to see my friend get punched in the nose by a wedding planner that he didn't pay up to. Right? Boulder's pretty cool this time of the year.
There you go.
Uh-huh. Oh, and it's not Green Bay, so I'm enjoying not being in Green Bay.
But I'm still a football player.
Yes, sir.
I'm still a football player. He's still emphasizing that.
Yes.
He still does want to play, obviously.
It's like, you know, when we had the lockout year while I was playing. You know, it at first it was a little bit stressful because you're worried, are we going to miss out on any game checks? But then in all reality, you missed out on an off season. And it was like the best off season of my entire career because you didn't have any practices and you didn't miss out on any game checks. So it's fantastic.
Damn. All right, more.
Say hello to our senior NFL insider, Adam Schefter, who's joining us now. That what you couldn't see in that clip, Aaron Rodgers was wearing a shirt that said, I'm offended. Read into it what you will.
I'm offended.
I love it. I love the fact that he wore that shirt. I mean, he knows exactly what he's being characterized as, as the bad guy.
Yep.
And he knows moments like what was it? He got called too short. He got called short or something. And so he said, I'm offended by that.
He goes, I don't appreciate that.
I don't appreciate that.
But same concept.
Yeah, same concept.
He's being painted.
He's embracing who the Green Bay Packers are painting him to be.
Correct.
They're trying to, and that's, hey, beautiful PR move, by the way, by Aaron Rodgers. You want to back me into a corner and you want to try to paint me with the brush as the bad guy? Okay, I will embrace that and I will just make it a laughing joke that you're trying to turn me into that.
That is it. He's a snarky dude. But he's got a sense of humor about it because he gets it. Oh, yeah, he can't play for Green Bay again. There's no way. Why would he ever step foot back in Green Bay?
He won't. He won't. He's not going to. The Green Bay Packers know that. I guess the only question now is, how did the Green Bay Packers benefit the best or the most out of moving Aaron Rodgers? Will they benefit by trading him right now? Or, you know, I heard on, I think it was on ESPN somewhere, it was on some national show I was watching yesterday or today, and they were talking about how, you know, the Packers, they actually might benefit more by waiting an entire offseason. So tell Aaron Rodgers, okay, hey, man, you don't want to play football this year? No problem. Sit it out. You can pay us back $11.5 billion. Then we will trade you, but we're going to trade you in a year's time when there's a full free market out there, when there's a ton of teams that want to be interested in your services. So I think that's what it's come down to for the Packers at this point. Just when and where can they capitalize on this?
Hey, Raj, I got a T-shirt for you. I'm a complicated fella.
I don't appreciate that.
He's a complicated fella.
Dude, when are we going to get the complicated fella T-shirts going here at the fan?
Well, I guess when Aaron Rodgers is a member of the Denver Broncos, or unless we're putting your face on it, I don't know.
He's a complicated fella.
Are we putting your face on it?
Sure. I think it's not, anything with my face on it is not going to help T-shirt sales for anything. But
he's a complicated fella.
He's a complicated fella. All right, Adam Schefter on Rodgers.
Well, it's hard to imagine that Aaron Rodgers just puts that shirt on, L, without any thought and sets up a Zoom shot exactly so that it captures I'm offended in the bottom
right
the way that it does. Aaron Rodgers is a very smart guy, knows exactly what he's doing, and you heard him sound there about having control of his life and not having to be in Green Bay and essentially touching on some of the issues that have come up this offseason. Now, I'm told the Packers will continue to make runs at him, continue to try to get him to come back to Green Bay. And he certainly sounds like he wants to play football. He's made that pretty clear. I think the issue is where he wants to do it. The Packers say they're not trading him. He wants to play. I think the next touchstone moment becomes right before training camp when we find out whether or not Aaron Rodgers is willing to report back to Green Bay.
Okay, nice job.
Hey, I'm working on something here.
Yep.
I'm working on something that I'll give it to you here in a little bit. But I'm taking your breakdown of the quarterback situation today.
Okay.
Which you've got it in details, and Richie cracked the Da Vinci Code and put
amazing.
It into English.
It was amazing what Richie
so
did.
Now what I'm doing is I'm taking my grading system. I didn't create this system. It's the system that I went through as a player every single year, every team I went to.
Okay.
It's a two check mark system on every single play.
Love it.
So you get a plus, you get a minus, or you could get an extra plus or a minus. Okay. I'll break down the system
awesome.
In more detail.
Love
of what it all means. But I'm going just, and I'm going strictly off of your report. Okay. So I'm just breaking it down as literally as I can on your report. And I'm going to give you the grade that I would have received as a player based off of your report.
I absolutely love it. And Cecil Lammy will join us. I guess he, disagreed with what I saw. All right. Cool. That's next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and Dina.
I think they both done well. Obviously, they're getting more comfortable with the offense. I see them operating a little quicker, a little faster with their decisions, you know, compared to the first few days to now. And I think both of them have benefited greatly from the work we've done.
Fanjo talking about the quarterbacks today. And, well, I saw a big win for Drew Locke, but the man in black, Cecil, did you know there was a heat index warning today?
Oh. Yeah, I've never claimed to be the brightest guy, but milk was a bad choice and wearing all black was a bad choice, but I'm Latin, I'm hot-blooded anyway, so it's fine. I need to lose some weight anyway, sweat it off, right?
Oh, that's too funny. I didn't know it was like a heat index day, but I did, when we came in here today, they said, oh, it's the hottest day, it's this warning. That's
yeah, it's hot. It's over 100 degrees, fellas.
Yeah, Cecil was...
I think black's a good choice, though, Cecil. Hides the sweat.
Cecil was in all black. Black jeans, black shirt, everything. But anyways, all right. Well, what did you see out there today, Cece?
Yeah, I think that Drew Locke got better as the day went on. I know I've been fighting a good battle on Twitter because everyone's like, they said he dominated. I'm like, nah, I don't think he did. I think he dominated red zone.
Now, to be clear, when you say they, you are referring to D-Mac, so you could just say D-Mac when you refer to they.
Okay, Tyler. See, Tyler, getting straight to the point. I like it, but I know, I understand people. D-Mac said he dominated. Well, I don't think he dominated. He dominated in the red zone, to be sure. I think that in 7-on-7 drills, he was stiff. He was late with his reads. There was one time when he just got whistled when he didn't throw it.
In the beginning, Cecil, it was.
He did launch one.
That's right. That's right. Keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going.
And Drew didn't throw any interceptions. But here's the thing, and here's my point with the Drew Locke thing. Like, he did what he's supposed to do. I'm not going to fall all over myself and praise him when he's not throwing picks. Like, he didn't throw picks. That's good. He shouldn't be throwing picks. So it was a win for Drew Locke today. I think Teddy was a little closer than people think. Teddy wasn't awful. Teddy was Teddy. Like, this is what we're going to see. Teddy's going to be safe. Teddy's going to check it down. He's going to take what the defense gives you. Locke's going to be a little more aggressive. As long as he does that and then looks good like he did in the red zone, build on that confidence, build on that momentum, and go win this job.
True or false, when they were operating from the 30 line and in those scenarios, and I'm looking at my notes of eight plays, Drew Locke threw 3 touchdowns, and Teddy Bridgewater threw 0, also in 8 plays. In fact, Teddy Bridgewater overthrew a receiver deep in the end zone on a 3rd down play, and on a 4th down play, he overthrew a receiver in the end zone as well from about the 8-yard line or something.
Yeah, and I think they were throwaways. Teddy's not that inaccurate to do that, and I'm not sure.
So 4th down, they had a guy
inaccurate, or if you meant end accurate with Teddy, but that's neither here nor there. I think he was throwing it away.
What did Cecil? They had a guy with a stick with 4th down. I mean, they were playing a situation.
Hold on, Cecil can have his opinion too. Well, you can have yours. It doesn't mean either one is right or wrong.
But my point is, it wasn't a throwaway situation. It was 4th down. They were going through downs. It was 2nd down, 3rd down, 4th down.
Got you.
On 4th down, it's got to hit somebody's hands.
Fourth down, you got to go for it, and that's what Teddy kind of lacks, really. It's what he's always lacked in kind of that go-for-it mentality. And I'll say this, and we can't get too specific. I wish we could.
Right, me too.
They were using dragon concepts to get Drew Locke comfortable before they got into red zone, 30 and in, whatever red zone we'll call it. They were using those concepts where it's a hook and a slant run on the same side of the field. Locke makes one read basically to one side of the field and then decides, is the hook guy open or is the slant guy open, depending on what the linebacker does in coverage. So he was making those correct decisions. He built momentum. And I'll say of those 3 touchdowns, one was wide open, no fan, because Pat Surtain busted the coverage. One, I think, was the best throw of the day for him, was the one to Sean Beyer. That's a seam ripper where he can get it in stride. Beyer did a really good job. Of course, converted wide receiver. So you see those wide receiver skills for that converted tight end. And so you see, you know, wide open guys that, you know, a difficult throw with Beyer, but easier throws with Drew Lock. He made them. He built confidence. I think this is a good thing. This thing's far from over. And I think this is kind of what we're going to get, the back and forth. I want to see Drew when he's making full field reads, because I think the red zone helped him, because it made him get rid of the ball quicker.
So he dominated
full field reads, get rid of the ball quicker,
so,
too.
So he dominated Teddy Bridgewater where it mattered most, in the red zone scoring areas. And he produced, and Teddy Bridgewater didn't. He dominated him today.
Well, geez, just look at his own opinion here. Okay, hold on. All right, here's what I'm curious about, Cecil. So if, more or less, I think you would agree that Teddy, or that Drew had the better day of the two, just you're in disagreement on how big of a margin that was, right? So here's what I'm curious about. If you were to put this in comparison to other days that Teddy Bridgewater has won the day, the margin of victory, like if you had to use the scale of 1 to 10, and you know, Drew Lock got a 7 today, Teddy got a 6, well, how would compare that to other days, other practices that you have seen?
Where Teddy's won the day. Well, and what you go back to then is,
like, how big of a difference?
Picks. You know, how much do you ding him for the picks? Because that's why Teddy wins the day. Again, this is Teddy, and it's not a knock on Teddy. It's not like he needs to be better. No, Teddy Bridgewater is safe and accurate. That's what he is. He's never going to be anything other than that. He's not going to go for it. D-Mac, that play that I mentioned where he held onto the ball too long and he finally tried to launch it.
Yep.
It took everything he had to launch it 50 yards.
Yeah,
I mean, everything he had. It was a bad throw. He was already sacked anyway.
Right.
But, like, Teddy Bridgewater wins the day when Drew Lock loses the day. Like, he's steady. And that's the thing with Teddy that coaches will love, Tyler. Correct. Fans are going to hate this.
Yeah.
Are you already getting the where's Aaron Rodgers at type of tweets? Because, like, fans hate this, but coaches love the steady guy. It really depends on if Drew Lock throws the job away by literally throwing the job away.
Did Teddy Bridgewater have any moments today like Drew Lock has had previously where you say, okay, you didn't win today more because you lost it yourself. You had X play that was bad. Did Teddy Bridgewater have any plays that stood out like that?
Those throwaways or whatever the hell they were that D-Manic and I were talking about were the ones. There was also one throw where Teddy, I think it was to Trinity Benson. D-Mac, check your notes on that. It was on the left side of the field. It was fairly deep, almost in a double coverage, but he would have connected if Benson would have held on to it.
It was broken up by Darby in the end zone, though.
Okay.
But it was underthrown. I mean, it was a deep throw. It was to Trinity Benson. Yeah.
And what happens to Teddy Bridgewater's deep passes? They sail.
Right.
They're going to start floating. They're going to lose energy at the end, and that's going to cause breakups and interceptions. No interception today, but that was kind of one of Teddy's bad plays.
Yeah, and you got to admit, I mean, Drew Lock has a way stronger arm than Teddy Bridgewater, right, Cease?
Yeah, I would say that. But we also have to admit, Drew Lock doesn't make the decisions that Teddy does. When it's quick, and he can make that quick decision as he did in the red zone, that's where he looks good. But you put him in a full field read, and that's where his head kind of scrambles a little bit. He's got to get more used to that. He's got to throw with better anticipation. Guys don't have to be wide open for you to throw them open. And there was a couple of times early, I was talking to Steve Atwater, and we were joking around. He needs an air horn, like, you know, 2 seconds, ring the air horn to let Drew Lock know, get rid of it. Like, dude, trust what you're seeing.
Right.
Understand what you're seeing, then trust it, and then rip it. If he does that, he can win this thing. And if he goes out there and he tries to be Teddy, I'm going to be safe and accurate today. That's not who you are, Drew Lock. Go be you. Cut down on the damn interceptions and win the job.
Good job, Cease. We'll listen to you tonight. We appreciate it, my man. Cecil Lammy.
Cecil Lammy, presented by Golden Oak Lending.
I can't wait to hear your, did you finish?
I'm done with Drew. I've done my tallies on Drew. I got to get to Teddy here. But
all right, and we'll get into Melvin Gordon. He's back. We'll get into all of it. I love it. I love having the conversation about it. Hot Take Tuesday on the text line, 303-713-1043. 100 degrees right now and heating up at Dove Valley at Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.